You're listening to Rewind, a podcast from the Gathering Community Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm your host, Tabby Horn, and we're going to dive deeper into this last week's message. So grab your tea or, if you must, your coffee, and let's get started. Hey, everybody. Hope you're doing well today. I'm so glad that you've decided to join us. We're entering our last week of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And we've set time aside from the beginning of 2025 to focus on the Lord and to eliminate distraction. And so I hope this has been a valuable time for those of you who have participated, and I hope that you've seen some breakthrough in some areas in your life. This last Sunday at church, we continued our series called Unlocking Heaven, and we've been talking about prayer and how important it is for us. One of the things that we keep saying every single week is prayer on earth moves heaven above. And it's really prayer that unlocks the realities of heaven on earth. And as we look at scripture, what we find is that there are people just like you and me, average, normal, everyday people that have specific places where they connect with God. And these places are called altars. And so we've been talking about this idea of having altars in our own lives. And last week we talked about the personal altar. A place where it's just you and God. You connect with God on your own. Scripture sometimes references this as a secret place, like a place that's not seen to the world around you. It's only known between you and God. And so we talked about how that's kind of the starting point for a life of prayer. And then this past Sunday, we took it a step further and we said, even though each of us have to have a personal altar, and that's like super important, what's equally important is having a community altar, a place where we combine our voices and amplify our prayers. And all throughout scripture, we do see many times of individual personal altars, personal prayer. But just as often, we see community prayer. Jesus himself, yes, he did get away from everyone to pray and spend time with his Father. And we see that all throughout the Gospels. But you know what else he did? He prayed in the synagogue. He prayed with his disciples. He prayed in crowds. And so we see that community prayer and praying with other people has some significance and some value in scripture. And so each of us has to figure out what this looks like for us. And when we look at the book of Acts, which is kind of where we see the first origins of the Christian church, there are obvious patterns of prayer. The people in Acts, they prayed when there was cause for celebration. They prayed when there was strife or opposition. And prayer was just kind of part of their everyday cadence. They had this constant rhythm of prayer. And the key to it is that it was done together. In fact, I think it's pretty safe to say the foundation of the early church was prayer. And when we look at Acts 2, what we see is that there are people all together. They are praying and they are waiting on the Holy Spirit to descend. And once the Holy Spirit does descend in Acts 2, they begin their mission. And we see it all throughout Acts and even through the rest of the New Testament. As a result of the empowerment that the Holy Spirit gave them, these 12 average, ordinary men start a movement and turn the world upside down. They preach, they're performing miracles, they're casting out demons. The first sermon that the Apostle Peter preaches in Acts 2, there's 3,000 converts. Like, this is crazy. But before they turn the world upside down with their preaching, before they go on missionary journeys, before they even are doing miracles, you know what they did? They collectively prayed for the power and the boldness to do it. Before they did anything for God, they spent time together waiting on God. They are waiting for things like power, boldness, direction. But I think there's something important here for us to understand that there is power in collective waiting on the Lord. Or another way we can think of it is there is power in collective prayer. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John perform a miracle. And I'm not going to go through the whole text, but you can read about it yourself. They perform this miracle. And this miracle kind of causes a stir because the religious leaders don't like what's happening. And they're like, oh no, you're spreading more information about this Jesus guy. Like, this is kind of crazy. You're healing people in his name. And so they bring Peter and John before them and they question them. And then later it kind of tells us that, you know, Peter and John were just like, hey, You know, we just can't stop talking about the things we've seen and heard. And it actually says in the text that the religious leaders could see they were common, ordinary men with no special training. Now, I think sometimes we like gloss over things in scripture, but I want you to think about that for a minute. Essentially, what the text is saying is that the religious leaders recognized these guys were not special. They weren't super smart. They didn't have a seminary education. Like, they were just normal people. But then it goes on to say, but they could tell that Peter and John had been with Jesus. It was actually the presence of Jesus, the lingering presence of Jesus, that changed them, that made them different. So Peter and John are eventually released, and they go back to the other Christians, the other Jesus followers, and they tell them what happened, and they all pray together. And you know what they pray for? They pray for boldness. I find that so interesting. Like, they're not praying for protection. They're not praying for freedom from religious oppression from the government. They're praying for boldness to spread the message of Jesus. So when we look at scripture, it's really undeniable that community prayer was an important part of the story. And community prayer is an important part of our story. And I think for some of us, we're not comfortable with community prayer. Like, if you attend a church, you're probably comfortable with the pastor praying on a Sunday and you just kind of standing there listening, right? And there's people around you. But that's not really what I mean by community prayer. I actually mean coming together, lifting our voices together and asking the Lord to do what only He can do, to heal, to restore, to deliver. This is what I mean by a community altar, a place where we come together and lift our voices. And if you don't have a community altar, I would encourage you to start pursuing one. And there's some ways we can talk about how do you start with like praying together. Like, it seems kind of like this big ambiguous thing. I think a lot of us just think, you know what, that's fine. But like, my personality isn't really like a pray out loud type of personality. Or like, my faith is private, so like, I don't really want to pray together. And to that, I would say, I'd like to ask you where you got your definition of prayer. Because I'm just going to tell you a definition of prayer that only includes you praying alone to God is an unbiblical definition of prayer. Prayer is you and Jesus, yes. And prayer is you, Jesus, and other people, yes. So we have to have that personal altar. I'm not dismissing that, but we also have to have this community altar. And praying is not a personality type. I will tell you, I am a high introvert. The less words I can use in a day, the happier I am. But I don't get a pass on community prayer. I don't get a pass on skipping that altar simply because it's my personality. Prayer is not a personality type. Prayer is a response to God. And so a couple of thoughts on this. And again, we are using a book called In Jesus' Name for this sermon series. It's written by Rick DeBose. It's a really good book. And these are some of the pieces that he talks about is how important it is to have a community prayer. And this is a quote from his book, and I thought it was really relevant for this topic. It says this: perhaps the prophetic weakness of today's church and the fear we have of sharing our faith reflects our diminished practice of prayer. For when the church prays, the house is always shaken, and the people are always emboldened. The church needs believers who know how to pray alone, as well as how to pray together. So then the next appropriate question is how? Let's get really practical here. I think there are three ways that we pray as we're building this community altar. And the first one is this: pray with other people. Pray with other people for your requests, for your needs. Pray with other people for needs in your community, needs in your neighborhood or your school or whatever it may be. And you know, these prayers don't have to be long. In 1 Kings 18, we see Elijah, the prophet, and he sees God do like a really miraculous thing. And again, we're not going to go into it, but you can read it if you want. He sees God do something really miraculous. And I just recently heard someone, a pastor who really travels around the country speaking on prayer. He said this. He said, I've looked at Elijah's prayer in the Hebrew. I've looked at it in Greek. I've looked at it in English and in other languages. And when I say that prayer out loud, it's always less than 60 seconds, no matter what language it's in. And so here's the idea. Pray 30 to 60 second prayers. You know, I think sometimes we think like, well, I don't want to pray because I'm afraid of like, I don't know what to say after that. You know, I don't know what to say. Listen, you just need to pray 30 seconds. We actually believe that like Jesus, his power is not contingent on us coming up with great phrases to say to him. Right? Like we talked about that last week on the podcast. That's what the pagans did. They tried to convince the gods to do things with all these flowery words. What if we just said, Jesus, heal my friend. Jesus, give my daughter boldness. Jesus, give me strength in this moment. Jesus, help me to be kind when I go into the office and I know this person's going to push my buttons. Help me live like you would live. Help me respond like you would respond. We don't have to necessarily have super long prayers. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a place for long intercessory prayer. We're going to actually talk about that in a couple of weeks. But we also can understand that there is just as much power in a 30 to 60 second prayer as there is in a 2 minute prayer. God's not up in heaven thinking, well, let me time this prayer and determine how long it is. Then I can see what my response will be like. God's all powerful. He doesn't actually even need us to pray, but he wants us to pray. He asks us to pray. So pray with, but think about 30 to 60 second prayers. The second thing is this, pray for. Pray for people in your life. Pray for people you don't know. Pray for the realities of heaven to become true in the lives of your family and your friends. One that we talked about on Sunday was praying for the next generation. Pray biblical virtues over your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews, kids that you know in your church, kids that you care about. Let's pray for the next generation. So we talked about praying for other people. And James 5 talks about the power of this. In James 5, it says this, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I want to encourage you to pray for other people, and not just in your own personal prayer time, but at the community altar. What does this look like? Well, one thing that you can adopt, and I have actually tried to adopt this. I heard a pastor talk about this many years ago, and I've tried to adopt it in my own life, and I'm not always perfect at it, but let's adopt an approach and a philosophy of pray now. I don't know about you, but throughout the day, I'll get texts from people that'll say like, hey, could you pray for me? I've got this going on. Or someone might not ask for prayer, but they might just say, I'm really having a hard time. You know, this is happening, that is happening. And I think our tendency is to say, oh, praying for you. But what if we just stopped and prayed? What if when you go to, you know, let's say church on Sunday and you talk to someone in the foyer and they're like, yeah, I've had a really hard week. I had this really tough situation at my job, or, you know, me and my husband are having a really difficult time in our marriage, or, you know, I'm having a really hard time with a friendship. What if you just said, you know what, let's pray right now. That's a crazy idea, isn't it? Pray for people. Let's demystify it. It doesn't have to be some big, like, oh, what am I going to do? And how am I? Pray now. Pray for 30 seconds with someone else. I guarantee you, whatever you pray for someone is going to be an encouragement and a blessing to them. I've never had anyone get mad when I pray for them. I've never been mad when someone's prayed for me, because it's encouraging to hear someone else go before God on your behalf. And so I want to encourage you to pray now. So next time someone talks to you and says, you know what, I've just been really sick this week and I just can't get over it. You know what? Would you mind if I prayed for you? Let's just pray right now. Jesus, would you heal this person? Would you restore their body? Give them rest. Give them exactly what they need. Amen. Honestly, I don't even know if that was 30 seconds, that prayer I just prayed. But I can tell you that I'm confident that if you pause and pray for someone, even if it's just a few seconds, they're going to be so grateful and their spirit's going to be encouraged. And so let's pray with people. Let's pray for people. And then let's pray forward. So we pray with, we pray for, and we pray forward. What do I mean by we pray forward? Well, clearly we see in Scripture that one of our joys and obligations as followers of Jesus is to pray the kingdom of God forward. We pray for it to move forward. The Apostle Paul says this in Ephesians 6, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. We're here to pray forward the kingdom, to pray for the advancement of God's kingdom on earth. So then the question becomes how? And I'm sure there are lots of different ways to pray the kingdom of God forward, but I'll give you two ideas. And one is very simple. It's just pray Scripture. We see lots of different areas of Scripture where there are proclamations or promises of God or even prayers that other people have prayed in Scripture. Just pray those prayers. And in praying that, moving that kingdom forward in the supernatural. The second thing is similar, but it's look at the great prayers of the Bible and pray for some of the things that people in the Bible prayed for. So an example of this is political leaders, church leaders, laborers for the harvest, boldness to proclaim the gospel, protection from evil and from those who oppose the gospel, healing for the sick, salvation, freedom, signs, wonders, miracles, a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. These are some things we can use, some methods we can use to know how to pray the kingdom of God forward. And if all else fails, you know what else you can just say? Jesus, move your kingdom forward. I think sometimes we fail to pray, especially with other people, because we feel like we don't know the right things to say. But the reality is, you can just say Jesus. Another great way to pray is to talk to God like you're talking to a friend. You don't have to find all these special phrases and repeat all these. You just talk to God like you're talking to a friend. And maybe you're thinking, I don't really know if I should talk to God like I talk to my friends, because my thoughts aren't always holy or my words aren't always holy. You know, there's a lot in Scripture that illustrates this idea that God actually wants to be our friend. And I think that sometimes our friendship with God doesn't progress because we're actually not willing to go there. We're not willing to be authentic. But if you'll start talking to God like you talk to a friend privately in your secret place, when you start actually gathering with your friends and praying together, you're not only going to find that you grow in your relationship with God, but you're going to find you grow in your relationship with others. See, God is supposed to be first and foremost in our life. Our relationship with Him is supposed to be first and best. That's what I tell our staff all the time. Like, before you do any type of ministry, before you do anything for God, you need to love Jesus first and best. And that is His desire, that we love Him first and best. But He never tells us not to love other people. In fact, He says the opposite. Like, we are here to love others. We see friendship all throughout Scripture. We see relationships, marriage. We see all these things throughout Scripture. And it's very clear that relationships are God's idea and God cares about them. And in this generation where people are isolated and lonely, I think it's more important than ever that we pray together, that we start talking to God with our friends, for our friends, and for the kingdom to expand in our cities. And I just want to end this with a question. How do you think your relationship with God and others would be different if you would commit to the community altar? How do you think it'd be different if on Sundays when you show up to church, you don't just show up for you, you show up to connect with people And when you hear what's going on in people's lives, you pray now. You pray a 30 to 60 second prayer. How would it be different if you were honest about your own struggles with others and they prayed for you and they encouraged you and they strengthened you? How do you think your faith would increase if you and your friends or you and your church community or you and your family or you and your spouse prayed for the kingdom of God to be realized in your life, in your family, in your community, maybe on your street or your block, maybe in your apartment building? See, we talk a lot about prayer changing things, but I think sometimes we have to understand it doesn't just change things in the sense of it answers our own requests. Yes, when we pray to God and we are asking the Lord for things, supplication, we talked about that big fancy word last week, just means to ask for things. Yeah, when we do those things, it does matter and God does answer. But there's like a deeper level of prayer where we are praying together to see God's will accomplished. And where we are praying together, not only to lift our voices to God, but to support one another. If you have some doubts about this, I'd encourage you to read Paul's letters in the New Testament. He talks a lot about praying for one another, about the power of bearing each other's burdens. And if you feel like you don't know exactly how to get started, that's okay. Just start small. And here's how you can start small. Next time you talk to someone who's going through a struggle, just say, hey, can I pray for you right now? And pray a 30-second prayer. Or next time someone asks you to pray for them, like, hey, be praying for me. I got a job interview. Awesome. Can I send you a voice text right now and pray? Or better yet, just do it. I send a lot of prayer voice texts. And you know what? Every time I do it, I get the same response. Wow. That was really encouraging. Understand that your prayers are powerful and effective. Not because you're a professional prayer, but because it's the Holy Spirit at work within you to accomplish that which is good and pleasing and perfect. As we close today, I want to pray, and I'm going to pray a 30 to 60 second prayer. And we're going to believe that the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. And so let's pray together. Jesus, we ask that you would make us people of prayer. And not just people that pray on our own, but people that pray with and for others. People that pray your kingdom forward. We ask that as we come before you with our brothers and sisters, that you would do the miraculous, that you would do what only you can do, and that our lives would be changed, and not just our lives, but our communities, our families, our schools, our workplaces, our cities. May your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. You've listened to Rewind, a podcast from the Gathering Community Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Join us in person on Sundays at 10:30 in the morning, or you can check us out online at thegatheringmn.com. We'll see you next week.